The tape recorder is picking up for Mabel's recording. I just want to make sure that we're getting a reading.
Okay, well, let me explain a little bit, I guess the best way for me to start is to explain what I'm doing, and then I can ask you some questions and then tell me your story. I'm working on a documentary film, projected to be an hour, it may end up being a half hour, on Madam C.J. Walker and Delilah Walker, her daughter. Madam Walker died in 1919, Delilah Walker lived on through the 20s and died in 1933, I believe. What I'm doing is basically a history of the two women, but the greater issues, I guess, are, you know, the whole period that's called the Harlem Renaissance, that whole period in black life, in black history, you know, what was the feeling at that time, and also the women's history, you know, what they had to work through as women and as blacks, you know, and I think that's what makes their story fantastic, excuse me, and makes it interesting is what they did. And what they did for women, and what they did for blacks. You know, it's not just the story of a millionaire, because in a lot of ways that's interesting, but it's not really what interests me, and I don't think it's what interests any of us here. You know, it's just the story of someone who made $1 million. But Madam Walker especially did some really great things, I think, you know, for blacks and for women. One thing she did was will that the president of the company should always be a woman. Which is kind of fantastic, you know, and the president still is a woman. She was really great about giving women work, and the women, I've interviewed women who worked in her factory who said that they were paid, you know, the same salary as men, which was next to nothing, you know, I think it was $2 a day, $2.25 a day, something like that. But that was, an exceptional salary, an exceptional fair salary. Some other things that Madam did with her agents and trying to get the women to have respect as money makers, you know, that as you see this ad here, you know, a chance to be independent, which is amazing at that time, to just even talk about the fact that, you know, women needed to be independent from their husbands and needed that extra money coming in rather than sit back home with the husband bringing the money. Also, there's of course, the whole thing about what she did for black women's concept of themselves and of being beautiful. Because as I understand it, before Madam Walker products and other beauty products and those at the same time. Well, you know, black people have a whole thing about skin color, you know, and at that point, you know, you were either born with what we call good hair, mm-hmm. you know, or you
some
weren't.
Of them had good
right,
hair.
Good hair, some of them didn't. And if you didn't have good hair, you couldn't look good, and there was no way to really improve yourself. There's nothing you could do, but, you know, and I don't really, you know, my opinion is I don't fault Madam for that straightening of hair and that kind of thing, because that was the concept of black beauty. If she had come out and said women should have afros at that time, mm-hmm. she wouldn't have made 20 cents, you know, because that was, she was ahead of her time. And it takes, you know, we had to go through Booker T. Washington to get to Madam Walker, and we had to go through Madam Walker to get to the afro. So, you know, she was, you know, just doing what she could at her time. So that's basically what I'm doing. The documentary hopefully will be shown on PBS TV, you know, educational TV. That's Channel 13 here.
That's where you watch the ballet and the opera. That's where you watch your opera. It's going to be on the same television show that you watch your opera.
So that would be the market, and then schools and you know, community groups and things like that. And what I've done, basically, I've been working on this project for about 3.5 years now. Well, it takes. That, I've done other things. Let me say that. I mean, I haven't spent 90.
It really takes time.
Yeah, but it does take time. But part of the problem with a project like this is I'm doing it independently. Mm-hmm. So part of my problem has been raising the money to do it. So that's been, you know, part of the time. I mean, I've had to stop working while I wait to get some money. So that's part of why I've been working on the project so long. Okay. Now, if I may, would like to do is start just by asking you some questions about yourself, so we get some background on the tape. Okay. Make sure this thing is working. There we go.
is that what you have to do with those things?
Well,
no.
I'm wondering if you change outlet.
It's not the outlet. It's not the outlet.
Have you had this trouble before?
Oh, all the time. I have it all the time. Once it gets going, the thing is that it doesn't stop.
Right.
Once it gets going, see, now it's going.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. One time, I opened it up and a little spring fell out. So
technological sense
right, right. A spring fell out, and then I put a tape in, and it still works. So I said, okay, well, it works, you know. Okay, let me just put this on. This interview with Mabel Hampton. It's the 13th of January, 1983, believe it or not. Were you born in New York?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I came here when I was 8 years old.
You came here with your mother, or your parents, or?
My aunt. My mother died when I was a month old.
And you were brought up by your aunt?
No, I was brought here with my aunt.
Did you live in New York from then on, from when you were 8?
Mostly, yes.
Uh-huh.
52 West 8th Street.
Uh-huh. 52 West 8th. You grew up there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Was that still what it is now? I mean, that's the village now. What was it like?
It's named the village, but it's entirely different than it was when I was coming along.
What was it like then? Who lived there? Did black people live? Was it a black neighborhood? Was it integrated?
What do you mean, the village?
Where you lived at, yeah, 8th Street.
At 52 West 8th Street, yes. There was quite a few, because I went to school, and there was quite a few of colored there, because I was with the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I knew.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that it was a little different than it was now.
Yeah, a little different. Yes, and a great deal different. Because then I used to go around with my uncle. My uncle was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I used to go with him different places, you know.
Mm-hmm. What year was that that you came in?
Well, this was 19 and something like that.
Do you remember at all your impressions of New York?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember your impression of New York when you first got here?
Impression of New York?
Yeah, what did you think? Part of the reason I asked that.
Well, I tell you, I didn't care too much for it, but I had no other relatives but those two.
Mm-hmm.
See? And there's a lot of people. It's very nice downtown. It's peaceful and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle used to take me to different places, and I would sing, and then he'd bring me back. He was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
See? And we lived in something like a basement. You go in through the, you're going through a place like that, and you come into an opening, and it was apartment houses all there, but they were all circled into one place. So you wouldn't know what was all about unless you come through the court.
Right.
You had to come through the court.
Uh-huh.
See, and they even had the bathrooms on each side of the court. Peculiar.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. They tore that building down.
I guess they did. I'm sorry, because I'd like to investigate it again myself.
Uh-huh. That was kind of an older fashioned type of building than the modern.
It was very nice, though. You come out, look like you're going into another world.
Uh-huh. You said you sung with your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You sung with your was it your uncle who was a preacher?
Yes, Reverend George Mills.
Uh-huh.
And he used to take me in different courts and different places and having it to sing. Mm. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you really are a New Yorker. You grew up here. What did you do when you got out of high school?
What did I do when I got out of school?
As a professional, what was your...
Well, You mean while I was young or later on?
Yeah, when you graduated school.
Oh.
You know, what did
well,
you
live? I went and got a job for a while. And then I went to live with some more people because my aunt, I didn't stay in New York long. By the time I was 14, I was out of New York.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? Where'd you go then?
Jersey City, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And I graduated from high school in Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 32. So, that was all. I went to stay with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Their names was White. They wasn't religious or nothing, but they were nice, quiet people. I went to live with them.
When you graduated high school, did you come back to the big city, or did you stay in Jersey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You came back here.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What did you do? What was your
well, then I had different little small jobs, and then I went in a show. We stayed there for a while.
Mm-hmm. What kind of show?
Oh, I traveled.
What kind of show?
Well, I was at the... I danced a while, the Garden of Joy, and then I, Lafayette for a while, you know, they take on girls' dances,
mm-hmm.
and quite a few nightclubs I danced in, but I never stayed nowhere alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So you worked as a dancer and of course.
I was a dramatic actress for a while. Sherry Lane Theater downtown.
Mm-hmm.
See? But I just didn't stay anywhere long.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
I didn't want to.
Uh-huh.
I was free.
Uh-huh.
See? When you're free, you do anything you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't stay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did you have worries about money?
Did I have to worry about money?
Did you worry about money?
No. I didn't ever have to worry about money. I dressed. And then besides, I had... I worked. And I take the money and buy nice clothes.
Uh-huh.
That time it didn't take much as it do now.
Right.
And still I dress now. I don't have to worry about anything.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The reason I ask that is... You know, when you read the books about that period, you know, in the 20s.
In the 1920s.
It seems like the people...
Well, I tell you, the war came in, and when the war came in, I worked in the war factory for a while.
Uh-huh.
See? That was the number one war. I was a young kid, and go in, stay 4 or 5 weeks, and come on out. We had plenty of money.
Right. Yeah, because it seems like people didn't worry about money. You never
hear
about, you know.
Well, I didn't.
My mom wasn't broke or anything. They never talk about work. You know,
I didn't because I could work and I was young, and I didn't bother.
Tell me about Aaliyah Walker, you know.
As I told you, I met her through this white girl. Woman, it wasn't a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a car, and she used to take me to different places. And one of the most interesting places was at Lee Walker's. I met the mother once.
What was the woman's name, the white woman?
Lee Walker.
No, the woman that took you.
That took me?
To Lee Walker.
Don't ask me.
Okay.
Wait till you get my age, you won't remember either.
Okay.
I came right now. I may have it in some far-off book or something. I may have that little red thing I gave you. But anyhow, her and I was dear friends at the time. See, so she asked me one night that I wanted to go slumming. I told her, yes, they called it slumming in those days. See, slumming, yeah.
What was slumming?
Slumming was you go to some place, go to somebody's house, and they have a party. They're having a party, and you see everything you didn't want to see. If you liked it, okay. If you didn't, okay. See.
Did slumming mean that it was that you were in Harlem? You know.
Yes, I was in Harlem. Yeah.
I mean, could you slum? Could you go slumming downtown?
No, you didn't have to. You didn't need to go. I don't know. I can't remember whether. She was a friend to Lee Walker. That's how I met her.
Mm-hmm.
See. So I didn't. No money come. Nothing at all. You go there and meet a lot of people. You drink, and you listen to them tell dirty jokes. And when it wasn't telling dirty jokes, they're talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's how I got in.
Okay, let me not interrupt. Let me go back. You said that the woman said, "Do you want to go slumming?"
Yeah.
And you said,
"I told her yes."
Okay, go ahead.
So she says, "You know, Lily Walker, Madam Walker." I said, "The lady would do the hair." Yeah, sure. I met her a couple of times because I went there with a girl to where she had a shop, and a girlfriend of mine got her hair done. And I had hair, and now I ain't got nothing. See. So I said, yes. So she says, I'll take you. She had a gray car. So I said, well, when are we going? She says, we'll go tomorrow night. I said, because I've got to go back to Jersey City. I want to take you some business. See a girl. She says, all right. She said, I'll take you over there. So I said, okay. I went over there. I dressed and went over there to see this girl. Her name is Pitts. I forget right now her last name, her first name. So, I stayed all night, and the next day this girl came after me around 3 o'clock. Of course, all the eyes popped out to see a white woman, and me getting in the car with the white woman. And all the eyes popped out, and I didn't care. It didn't worry me.
Uh-huh.
She was just a person. So, and she brought me over. So she told me, just now, whatever you see, don't repeat it. Yeah, why should I repeat anything? So, we went there and had a lovely time. Now, what else you want to know about it?
I'd like to know.
What we know.
From
Genesis to Revelation.
Tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got there. Not the exact time, but anyhow, she rang the bell. And a colored fella came to the door. He knew her, so he said, come in. Took us in. We sat in a foyer, something like a foyer. I sat down. She says, Mabel, sit down. I'll be with you in a minute. So she disappeared through some door. And about 10 minutes, she comes back. And she brings this tall white fella with her. And she's wanting, asked, been wanting the thing to drink something. And I wasn't drinking. I said, no, it's ginger ale or something. So he says, it's cold. Her name was Ruth, that's right. She says, Ruth, come on, we'll go inside. Is she all right? Ruth says, yes, she's my friend. No, she's all right. Well, he opened the door. I never forget, I had a gray dress on with a white fur coat, short coat. I can't forget that, because I had to take them all off, so naturally I wouldn't forget. So that time everybody wore nice underwear, you know. You think I'm lying? I got a piece of it right now. So he opened one door and went through something like through a dining room, from a foyer to the dining room, from the dining room to another room. I said to myself, what is this? I was hip to everything. I said, what is this? Then he knocks on this folding door. When he opened the door, what caught my eye froze me almost stiff. Ain't nobody had clothes on but me. So I didn't say nothing. She put her arm around my waist. She says, now, how do you feel? I said, I feel fine. So he says, come in. And we closed the door and back us. There was pillows all around the floor. No chairs. Pillows around the floor. On the floor sat a couple over there. No clothes on. And there, they was eating, you know, somebody was feeding somebody else. I just stood there. I was froze. I couldn't do a thing for a sec, because I'd heard about it, but I'd never been into it, see. That's why I was anxious to go, so I could tell my other friends about it. So she says, will you take off your coat? I said, yeah, throw off my coat. The dress was all in one piece. I said, my God, do I have to take off the dress too? She says, uh-huh. And she come and taking hers off. Oh, she took hers off, I took mine off. And I had nothing but on, but stocking, slippers, what did you call them in those days? You didn't call them negligees or nothing like that. It was a name for them. I can't think of it right this minute. But that's all I had on, and those short pants under there. So, fellow gets up off the chair, holds up his girl, and says, come on, sit down here. Well, I drop down, she drops down. And then they brought us something, some food to drink, and something to eat. Well, I was right at home, because I love to eat anyhow. Mm. So that was in the afternoon. I stayed all night long. People come and go, people come and go, but nobody went out the way I came in. No, they were another thing. No, they didn't do that. No, you don't mess up things like that. You don't mess up. When you're doing anything like that, you don't mess everything up. See, the room was much larger than this here, mm-hmm. than that one. See, and there was a door, when you come in, there was a door to the left. I come in the door to the right, and the people went out the door to the left. Now, where they went now, I wouldn't tell you, because I didn't go that way. Mm-hmm. See, when I went back, when I went home the next day, I came out the same way, my girlfriend and I.
Mm-hmm.
So they played music and they talked and they had themselves a nice time.
Could you talk a little bit about what was going on and who was there?
Well, what happened?
Yeah, and also, like, you told me who was making love with who?
Well, I'm not sure they was making love with each other. They didn't pay me no attention, because they figured that I knew what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I was with the skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there.
Describe the couple. How it happened.
Well, there was men and women and men, and men and men.
Mm-hmm.
See. And they were always on the pillows, and they want to do anything they want to do, they go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
See. Then, now you call it dope, but I didn't realize what it was then. See. They smoked. I smoked too, but I smoked cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't smoke any of theirs. I had my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had a lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed all night till 3 or 4 the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody did whatever they wanted to do. Some of them did one thing, the others did the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody paid anybody else any attention. They were served. There was the girls there with no clothes on. They serve you with food. Oh, it was marvelous.
Mm. The people had no clothes on at all.
They didn't have no clothes on.
Uh-huh.
I was about the only one sitting there with the what the world you call them? The dolls. I took everything off except the little short pants I had on here, and the. I got the thingamajig home now. So, everybody did whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to make love, they made love. If they didn't want to, they didn't need something to talk.
What did the room look like? You remember what?
What did the room look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, it was pillows everywhere. There was no furniture in there. Pillows, see, and little small short tables like that. And you're
mm-hmm.
sitting in front of you, you know, and you eat off of those. And there's a man that the chef or whatever else he come in and bring food to you. Whatever you wanted, you had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where this was?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember where this was? Where were you?
It was up there near the, up on the hill. I can't think of it right now. It was up on a hill, and she had a beautiful home up there. I mean, a gorgeous place up there.
Was it an apartment?
No, it wasn't an apartment. It was a house. It was a big house.
Mm-hmm.
And you open the door, you go upstairs, and all around is where the cars, you know, they have cars there. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether her mother left her that house or whether she had it built.
Was it outside of the city?
No, it was right in the heart of New York.
Right in
up here in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Down up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a private house, but it must have had 18 to 20 rooms.
Well, she had one house on 136th Street. But it's right on the street. I mean, there wouldn't be a place to drive cars
no.
in.
No, this must have been a country home that she had up there.
Mm-hmm.
See.
And she had another place in what's called Irvington, New York.
New York.
But that's outside of New York.
Yeah, they had wild parties up there too, but I didn't get that far.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go there.
Could this have been someone else's house? I mean, was it?
No, that house belonged to her. That house really belonged to her,
mm-hmm.
see? Because she would come in occasionally and say hello to the girls and men and women and talk,
mm-hmm.
sit down on the floor, cross her legs, and drink, and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
She knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was rooms around there, too. So if you wanted to bashful, you want to rent a room, or
mm-hmm.
she said you had a room.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder, you know, where this was, because she had the house on 136. She also had an apartment.
No, it was up there somewhere nearby where the Garden of Joy is.
What was that?
The Garden of Joy was where I used to dance at. That was, what do you call it? Nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.